What will be the final cost of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Hello, and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. Now, the popular trend of creating rainbows during the COVID-19 lockdown has become a global phenomenon. It is a symbol of hope because of the cost to human lives. It's not just, in fact, the cost from a social perspective. We also have to consider what will be the cost from an economic viewpoint and many other things. For example, the EU has already declared a 500 billion euro bailout to help countries in the EU. There is going to be more money pumped in by the UK government, and yet still there's a record fall in the UK economy. In fact, many people say that in the United States it's the worst economic crisis since the 1930s depression. When we think about the cost, and those symbols that we look to, what does it really all mean? Yes, at the end of the rainbow, we seek treasure, a great legend that has long been told. And there we seek our pleasure to find a big pot of gold. Mm-hmm. As we reach the rainbow's end at our leisure, where there's many hopes in which to hold, to find the treasury is the measure, and all the gold has been sold. Yes, Clergyman Pete, it's certainly costly, this particular coronavirus, but it's not just about money, is it? It's about the social impact. What's your view on what will be the final impact to the whole world?
Well, businessman Mark, I see the reaction of countries across the world as having a devastating effect. Now, of course, the people, the country's leaders, making the decision to close down the economies of countries, which seem to be the most common response of countries suffering from this terrible disease. They've taken that into account, the fact that it's going to have a huge effect on the economy. But the problem is, we don't know, because this hasn't happened quite in this way before. Countries have closed down whole economies. We don't know what the total cost is going to be. But also, the closing down of the economy has been as a result of wanting people to stay at home and people being locked away at home. That's sort of the opposite of what you encourage people to do if they have mental health issues. You want them to get out and to meet people, to talk with people, to do active things. It's the opposite of what you want to do when you've got sort of abuse or domestic violence happening at home.
Yes.
And you're locking people up together. So what will be the cost? I just think it's incalculable. As soon as you change the whole culture so drastically, you don't really know what's going to happen, but we can see some worrying trends along the lines of what I've just been discussing. The final cost, it's going to be massive. That's the first thing we can say.
Well, let's take it from a social perspective, the cost. Now, let's take the now and what that means for people in the future. So I'm going to start with the thing I reference, which is about this little trend about drawing rainbows. Many people will look out and across their neighbourhood and see people who have drawn sort of colourful rainbows. Now, this was a trend that was started by a mum, Crystal Stanley of Ipswich in England, and it became a social phenomenon. It's been adopted as a symbol of hope. Now, what I would be looking for, and maybe Clergyman Pete, you can help me here from a spiritual sense. So there's a sense of neighbourly help. The idea that you can look after your neighbour. Many people have been putting drawings on the floor and just sort of getting people to remind themselves that when they're out and about, to just actually think very carefully what that means. Now, here's the point about, you know, the future. Is it possible for once, folks, that actually we do care about one another a little bit more? So this idea of the symbol of the rainbow, which I know has been adopted by many, many initiatives, but certainly has certainly been used in this particular sense during the lockdown, it is quite an interesting phenomenon where people, on the one hand, are starting to stay at home, hopefully, wherever you are in the world, folks. You're all listening, glued to the Mark and Pete shows. The thing is of the symbol here, I would be hoping in the future that the cost of actually staying home is also a cost to sort of think about what matters.
Yes.
So, and I bring that back, and I know we're going to talk about something more tangible and physical and economical in a minute, but I want to talk about the social side, because it certainly seems to be resonating with people that this is now real. This is now something that has changed the way we live and work, how we think about our families, and also keeping our distance to help protect them. So I just want to come on to that, your view of there about the symbol of the rainbow, and what does it mean about how we might in the future think about how we care for one another.
Well, business remark. For a moment, I thought you were saying that one of the negative aspects that people ended up listening to Mark and Pete more. I'm sure that isn't what you meant, but certainly.
Yes, the mental health we'll come on to in a minute.
Certainly, people are listening more because they've got more time being at home. But that sign of the rainbow is. I'm glad you picked on that one, because that's interesting. I see that around here and see little rainbows drawn by children put in the window. And the rainbow has an interesting history. It's been, as you say, used by various groups to promote their message. But originally, I guess the original symbolism of the rainbow was of God saying, see this rainbow, this means that I will save you, or I won't destroy you. You will not be ultimately destroyed. So in this time of a pandemic, that is something that you need to hear, isn't it? That in the end, this too shall pass. In the end, we will get through this. But there is an interesting aspect of the response to it. Yes, there are those people who are being selfish, and those people who are bucking the system. But in general, I've seen, and lots of other commentators have noted, that that people are caring for each other. They're looking out for each other in a strange way by being socially distant, but keeping an eye out for people who aren't getting enough to eat because they're isolating at home. And this care for each other is an interesting aspect of what's happened with this terrible disease putting us in lockdown. It's seen the churches being closed, but that meaning we need to keep in touch more with our congregations, and the Christians with each other for church need to get more in touch by phone and more often actually on social media, so that they know that each other are okay, because they don't see each other in church. So and also it's meant an increase in sort of online services, which are more accessible to people who don't go to the church. So there is a possibility of a Christian revival coming out of this situation, partly because of what I've just said, but also because of the sudden realisation that life and death is there. So we sort of sweep it out of the way and try and pretend that death isn't stalking the streets, but actually it always is. Everyone's going to die, of course. One out of one people die in the end. But this can mean that this concentration on the mind of the importance of trusting in God, of having a belief in the afterlife, could well mean a spiritual revival going forward. The churches may well be fall after this. It's this sort of crisis, as predicted on this show by none less a luminary than Mark Pesey, of Mark and Pete fame, who said in order to turn around the religious, spiritual and cultural problems in this country, we need a big crisis like a war or an epidemic. And such has turned out to be the case. Such could turn out to be the case. It could be that it leads to those differences. So, yes, there are positive aspects to our response to it, including this growing realisation of the importance of the family unit because of being thrown back into our homes. And I tell you what it's also mean. It's mean that we as a culture have had to let go of our fascinations, what you might call first world problems, whether you can turn teenage or prepubescent boys into girls, what name you and pronoun you want to be called by, all that seems to be swept away. The importance of being vegan seems to have been forgotten, swept away, because you just need to make sure you've got something to eat. So all this has swept away our little pet problems and our pet peeves, because there's something bigger in place. So the terribleness, the horror of COVID-19 has made us see what's important.
Yes. Well, I concur with that, Clergyman Pete, and of course, many more predictions from me
later on
in the year, I can
assure
you.
Tell us what's happening next, good sage.
Well, indeed. Yes, yeah. But yeah, I mean, certainly my prophecy, sadly, has come true. And what I would say is this, that there are always times and moments in any generation where things shape both the cultural and economic status of a country or the world. And when we think about what's happening now, we also have to think about the other side of things. So we've talked about the cultural side. Let's look at the economic side, because this is a mechanism that does affect people's lives. And when we think about it from their jobs, we think about it also from the way business works. But what I'm going to say again here is, and this probably isn't going to be a major surprise to everybody, but from a business perspective, it is certainly something that will shake up what I'll call traditional and often inefficient ways of working, where, here's a few example, people who were often forced by somewhat narrow-minded owners of business to get their employees to trample backwards and forwards on public hours for, 4 hours a day, sitting in traffic jams forever and a day, being highly inefficient, but thinking it was clever that they had to work from a fixed location when they could easily have worked from home. Yes, folks, I'm sure that many of our listeners have been subjected to that. But the bottom line is those things will change. Also, business models will change. People will reevaluate the way that they go to market. And I think that there are some positive signs here that in this aftermath of the COVID-19, we will see some positives, but we are also going to see a lot of negatives. And here's a few examples. Unfortunately, but it's something that we can't avoid. The UN study recently said that 81% of the world's workforce of 3.3 billion people have had their place of work fully or partially closed because of this outbreak. Now, that is a staggering sum. Now, that's what we've calculated at the moment. And so in terms of the economic impacts, we've already seen that somebody such as Donald Trump, a great hero of ours, definitely a hero of Clergyman Pete, we all say folks, you can't see us, but that's the case. But he's already put down $2 trillion at this moment to try and basically build back in some boost to the economy to save livelihoods and to help both on a social and an economic basis. $2 trillion is probably nowhere near enough, I can say. And we know that the UK government has already put in billions. We've talked about the EU putting in billions, and many other countries are doing the same. And so I think that what will happen is this. If the coronavirus does not end in the next 2 to 3 months, it will basically mean all those stagnant businesses, well, some are already going, more will go, and those that still survive will not be working and operating in the same way. Now, for those who certainly feel that that's going to impact their lives, yes, it will. That's the harsh side. But there's also a glimmer of hope, and that is I come back to drawing upon skills in ways in which perhaps they've not been exploited enough. The digital skills, the ability to think more efficiently and using those software skills, the advantage of working at home, the advantages of companies now not thinking just parochially. They can think globally about drawing upon skills which they could never have before. And that has certainly helped people in the past where they've actually thought about their business model in a different way. So to me, I think the next 2 or 3 months is going to be critical in terms of what that means from an economical standpoint. I want to come on to a few other things as well, because when we think about how people are currently living today, there's something that we've talked about, and we did touch upon it very slightly, which is the mental health. This was something that has been on the agenda for quite some time, and I'm glad that it's been raised to the surface. So the last 2 years, certainly in the United Kingdom and mainland Europe and in the United States, people have been talking about mental health in a much more positive way to be able to make it more transparent. And I think for those who are having to cope either on their own or if for some reason that they are living with somebody they'd rather not be living with, this is a challenging time. But this is where it comes back to the use of social media, the use of video collaboration, the idea of still being in contact with the world. Don't get isolated. And so here's a point here that I think that Clergyman Pete, I would like to sort of draw upon your expertise here from a point of salvation and recommendation of what people do who are those who are struggling to adapt or a feeling that the world is almost coming to an end. Maybe there is a bit more of a glimmer of hope and a salvation they can turn to. You talked about religion, but there are other things that they can do.
Yes, one of the key things to do when you're feeling like that, when you're feeling really alone, is actually to vocalise it. Now, it may be that there's someone with you you can talk to. You know, don't clam up. Don't think you're going to push through. I don't think you're going to be stronger, particularly if you're feeling ill. Now, there's an interesting point made by a few of how determined he was, as though this was going to save him from the disease. Of course, it has no effect. So you can't push through in the same way. You can't push through loneliness, despair. This is not something you can push through. What you need to do is put it out in the open, share it, and these two ways, with other people and with God himself, who is real and listens and responds. You are never actually alone. You can talk to God. And one of the problems that people have in doing that is of not saying it out loud. Look, if you're in the house alone, say it out loud, talk to God. But don't rush it. You know, if you're in a relationship with anyone else, with a human being, you wouldn't say, right, oh, yeah, please help me with this, blah, 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 and then go and have another whiskey or whatever it is, or a cup of tea. Maybe you would do it. No, you would spend your time. And so spend your time, read some sections of the Bible, read through, I always recommend reading straight through Mark's Gospel. You can read through it in a couple of hours. And just take your time responding and praying to God. And that slowing down is important. And the third thing I wanted to say was that about the slowing down thing is if you slow down, take time to reflect, you can actually see things in perspective. The slowing down, not simply having things whirling through your brain, can help you to relax. And then just so that's the third main thing, three main things. But just finally, over all this, is the importance of getting good rest and drinking plenty of water. It may seem strange seeing two practical things, but going to sleep without your phone next to you or with it turned off and drinking sips of water throughout the day, surprisingly, in my experience in pastoral work, solves as many problems as any other, you know, including prayer, although, you know, people pray all the time, you can't really measure that. But, you know, it's surprising how a simple physical thing like that can really make a difference. So,
yes.
But just don't clam up. Don't keep it to yourself. Talk to people. Be honest about the issue that you're in. But make sure that you do talk to God. Slow down, and reflect on how He does care for you and love for you. And when you read through Mark's Gospel, just remember. Just think of the terrible time at the end. Jesus dies at the end of that, but He comes back. And if He has power over that, if He can turn around death into life, He can turn around anything in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a really good point. I do want to bring out one final point, and this is around the cost. It's something we should bring up. It is a negative point, but hopefully we can turn it into a positive. Many people are working from home. Many people have never really worked from home before. And this comes back to perhaps some of the challenges of the world that we live in. Cybercrime is growing. Many people are being exploited. It doesn't matter who you are. it's very easy. And we'll certainly get Clergyman Pete to sort of comment on why people feel that this most unfortunate time in certainly in social history is a time when people feel to expect your credentials stolen, or even worse, your computer full of malware and viruses. And the other thing as well is that when you think about it from a business perspective, if your employer has allowed you to obviously work from home, which is part of the scheme at the moment for most workers who can do that, think about the type of devices that you're putting on your network. You know, have you got a rogue device? Don't do it. You know, just simply get advice from your IT experts. So the other side to this is, Clergyman Pete, I just want to get your sense as we sort of come to the end of this show. What do you have to say to those? Sure. We know that cyber criminals have been, you know, flourishing over the last 10, 20 years or more. This seems to be an extraordinary sign of a human mind who seems to take this as an advantage to exploit. Now, that could be to disrupt. It could be to extract money. It could just be to ruin someone's life. It could be water for many different reasons. What's your advice to those individuals who are doing it?
Well, I think one of the main points, so let's take it from the point of view of people who are using more of the internet than they used to, or online in different ways than they used to. You have to treat online companies the same as you would treat a real life company. You know, you don't give out your public, you don't give your private information in public to people who you have no reason to trust. But to people, you know, to people who take advantage of this situation, I mean, there's nothing I can say that would stop people of such low moral standing to stop them doing it. I mean, I don't know what I can say to them. I mean, to say that they're deplorable or despicable for taking advantage of a situation like this is not going to affect them. I mean, I would remind people that during the Second World War, when we were under a big times of crisis, there were people who took advantage of it, selling things on the black market. So it has always been thus. But the final point that I would say to them is, well, you're probably going to get found out.
Well, you've been told. Well, look, you know, what will be the final cost of COVID-19 pandemic? Well, we will certainly have to wait and see. It's still unfolding. But certainly, stay at home, stay safe, stay indoors wherever you can, and certainly think about those symbols of hope, the rainbows, positivity, hope, and togetherness. Well, join us next time for more colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.